The Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. We are going to pivot quite a bit today. Pivoting happens, and when Kevin Durant gets traded overnight, you pivot. We have Peter King with us. I caught up with Peter earlier. I have Seth Joyner with me today. I caught up with Seth a short time ago. Both those interviews you will see today, but we need to start with what has happened overnight with Kevin Durant. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. Start banking better, getting more with free checking from Desert Financial. Join a winning team at desertfinancial.com. We appreciate their support. Got a text late last night. Hey, Kevin Durant's coming to Phoenix. Actually, yesterday at the Open, I was with somebody who would know at 16, and they said they're still trying to do something with Durant. And I'm just at the point now where we've been talking about Kevin Durant for a long, long time. So last night when I got this text, like, it's done. And you see the haul that goes out. I was not here when Charles Barkley was acquired. I came shortly after that. I got here in December of 93. The Suns open America West Arena. They bring in Charles Barkley in a monster trade where they had to sacrifice a young guard named Jeff Hornacek. And to this day, if I'm talking to Suns fans who are loyal and long and true and blue, and as I've always said, the Suns are the team here in town. It's not the NFL. It's not the Diamondbacks. They're fine in their own space. But this is a Suns town first and foremost. And so when Jeff Hornacek was traded to get Charles Barkley here, there were fans, and even today I put on my social, and they said, I've still not forgiven the Suns for trading away Jeff Hornacek. Still haven't forgiven them. The late, great Cotton Fitzsimmons orchestrating that deal. It was a different time, obviously. And yet here we are today with Kevin Durant in our laps here in Phoenix. And this is the obvious is it's a bold, brazen move by Matt Ishbia. Yeah, we got it. The question is, it's not the first-round draft picks. They sent four first-round draft picks away. You're going to be good. You're going to be good. You have Devin Booker for a long time. You're going to be good. It's a place to attract players. It's going to be good. So the first-round picks don't really bother me. Jay Crowder didn't want to be here. Doesn't bother me. Cam Johnson, nice complimentary player. It's not a swipe. Is Cam Johnson ever going to be a perennial all-star? I don't think so. I think he's going to be one of those guys that I would love to have on my team. It hurts to give up Mikal Bridges. Anybody who's like, oh, yeah, the Suns didn't give up anything, baloney. Mikal Bridges may well go down. This just may be scratching the surface with Mikal Bridges. It really may be. Because he's no longer going to be in the shadow of Devin Booker. When Devin Booker was out, Mikal Bridges thrived. Mikal Bridges put up big numbers. Now, there's a lot that goes into making a deal of this magnitude. Mikal Bridges has never missed a minute or never missed a game here in Phoenix. Played a lot of minutes. Young guy. The fact that DeAndre Ayton is still here as we speak. Because today is the trade deadline. In fact, he's still here as we speak. Is one of those where you're just saying to yourself, man, what else is going to go down? The fact that the Suns now are in a win or else mode. I mean, really, that's what it is. Monty Williams doesn't win. James Jones doesn't win. New owner is here. This owner's pretty clear about winning. I'm not going to be surprised if the name on the building changes. I won't be surprised. And when I say, yeah, every owner talks about wanting to win, the understanding in the mortgage industry from the people that I've spoken with about the business side is this is a win guy. He is going to win at his cost and the cost of others around him. He's going to be the guy that's like, I'm going to win every single time. And so the message being sent to the fan base is, yeah, I didn't feel like we had enough to win. And we're willing to give up Mikal Bridges, which is the tough part. And the thing is, when fans would say, or people making up these trades, like, well, this would how the numbers would work. This is how we've got to make it work in this space, in that space. You got to get another team involved, and so on and so on and so on. And to me, it's like it's all came down to Mikal Bridges. If you can't get Mikal Bridges and you're Brooklyn, there's not a chance that you're going to make this deal. And so giving up some first-round picks and Jay Crowder and Cam Johnson and calling it a day, that's not going to get it done. That's not. And I wouldn't be surprised if something else came down today. I really wouldn't. You know, they're going for it. They have to be all in. And anything short of a championship ring, a championship parade, really not going to cut it here in Arizona. Really not going to cut it here in Phoenix. I look at this and see what the other teams have done. You know, Lakers went out and they made a deal. They got rid of Russell Westbrook. That doesn't mean that they're done for the day. And what the deadline looks like, the Suns now, the West is just brutal. The West is just, like, you can make a compelling case to me still that Denver or the Clippers yet to be seen today, teams can move forward and still advance. It's going to be a slaughterhouse. Dallas is sitting over there saying, we've got to figure it out having Kyrie here with Luka. We'll see. See, both those guys like to have the ball a lot in their hand. So will this work out? It's fascinating. It is unbelievable that we would have this deal finally come down because Durant was polarized. Remember last summer, we've talked about this through the years of doing this little show. It's, you know, Kevin Durant has been one of those topics that has been brought up over and over and over as he passed his prime. If you're going to go for it, do they still need help behind Chris Paul today? Do they have enough guys on the bench to bring in when it is a long playoff run? Is this the piece that gets DeAndre Ayton to a different space? And we can also, oh, sure it is, sure it is. The fan wants to come out and say, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. The thing is, if they don't win a championship, it's a failure. I don't see Kevin Durant here in 3, 4, 5 years. Do you? Maybe 3, maybe. And the way the team's constructed, Chris Paul's not going to be here in 3 years. Maybe not even next year. But all that stuff's off to the side. The simple fact that when Robert Sarver and everything came out about Robert and the league expedited his please get out of here, exit stage right, and in that short period of time, all of a sudden, new owner comes in. New owner is like, I'm big baller, shot caller. This is how it's going to go down. And today they make this deal. I feel like for here in town, it should be a wake-up call to the other organizations in town. It should be. Cardinals can't figure out who to get as a coach. Diamondbacks got a nice young team. The Coyotes are the Coyotes. Got to get their building stuff figured out. You know, if you go through the big four that we have and then you go on the college end, better put something out on the field because the Suns clearly are the team now. Clearly are the team here in Phoenix for people to watch. And the watch is now on for Monty and it's on for James Jones. I just don't see an owner that's going to be tolerating a second, third round elimination, even though the West is really tough. I could be wrong on that. Wouldn't be the first time, won't be the last. When you see what they did overnight and bringing somebody here of that magnitude, that caliber, the pressure now clearly is on Monty and clearly, and yeah, they have a relationship. I wrote about it in 2019. I reposted it this morning on my social over on Twitter. You can check it out. I like this deal from the standpoint of it was a nice team that was here. It was an embraceable, who didn't love the lemonade stand, right? Nice group of players, very embraceable. But did they really have enough to get over the top? To me, you still have a man in the middle that I just think is a nice guy at times. DeAndre's a nice guy. DeAndre is not the dominating force that I expect DeAndre to be. Will that change now that Kevin Durant is here? So those are just some of the early top line thoughts as this deal goes down. It hurts to lose Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges, I think, is going to blossom into an even bigger star on the stage. This may be a regrettable deal from that side of the street. But if you're just going to put a team out on the floor that's likable and embraceable, much like Jeff Hornacek, and yeah, Charles didn't get the job done. That Suns team did not win a championship. They came close. That wasn't why they brought him here. There's already a rabid fan base here. That's going to get ratcheted up 10 times now with this arrival. Building's already in place. I'm stealing a little bit of what Cotton Fitzsimmons said, the late, great Cotton Fitzsimmons said when Charles came here. Like, the building's already here before you got here. Seats are already full before you got here. Now you're here. Your job is to win a title, paraphrasing. And so that's where I'm at today on this Durant deal. We'll see. I don't dislike this at all. There's some people that hate this deal, think the Suns have mortgaged their future for the foreseeable future. I did not see a championship team on the floor. I didn't. I think the wear and tear on Chris Paul, the grind on Chris Paul at his position is a concern. We'll see how the rest of the day plays out with the deadline here. I didn't feel like there was that other, you know, in sports, we like to talk about the Batman and the Robin. I didn't really see it this year. You know, I have no problem with the lack of minutes that this group has had together. Now it gets real. Bleep gets real, as we like to say. The bleep gets real. Here we are on the 9th of February, and by the time we get to about, let's say about March 15th, let's see if everybody's healthy. Let's see if everybody's ready to go. Now you guys go get 3-4 weeks playing together and then make your run. We should be talking about this team in late May and into June without any questions now. And this owner in 24 hours, it'll be 24 hours and like 45 minutes from now, this owner is not about bleeping around. He's not. We'll see. I mean, we'll see if there's an ounce of patience if this comes up short. We'll see. All right. It's the first round of the WM Open today. I am not going to be out there. I'm already beat up from golf. Brock Purdy is going to have surgery to repair his torn UCL. He's not going to be undergoing Tommy John. The Super Bowl got knocked off of page one and page two. I find it interesting. My friends that are in media from out of town are like, man, there's a lot going on here. Yeah, that's why I moved. That's why I left the beaches of Carlsbad as a kid and came to Phoenix, because we got a lot of stuff going on. Next week, we got 15 spring training teams that are starting. By the time we get to Monday morning, I'm going to say to all of you that are here visiting for Super Bowl or covering Super Bowl, get out. Get out. Return your rental car. Get out of your hotel room. We got more people that are coming. We haven't even hit spring break yet. It's crazy. It's great. So I caught up with Peter King. Peter and I have been trying to catch up with each other all week. Peter finally got back to me. We'll bring you that. It's a little janky. I will be honest with you, just the quality of it, because Peter's driving. And his assistant with Football Morning in America is zooming Peter into me while he's driving. He's doing an interview with me. It's all over the place, which is fine. You guys, if you've watched this is not the most... I don't want this thing produced to the highest end. When you have guys that are out here working, I get it. I did find Seth Joyner. It's always good to catch up with Seth. He was the first ever NFL Network analyst. He is big time in Philadelphia. He is back home. He has a home here in the Valley. He dodges me on the golf course, even though I'm sure he kicked my ass right ways, left ways, and sideways. But Seth does a lot around the Eagles in Philadelphia before and after their games. So we'll have Seth Joyner here on the stream. A lot about Kevin Durant, obviously. The home opener for him will be next Tuesday night, Valentine's night. The Suns are in action tonight in Atlanta. And we're back with Peter King and Seth Joyner after this timeout. Peter King, Football Morning in America, a camera moving around near you, somewhere in Arizona. Where are you right now, Peter? Where are you?
I'm in some parking lot. You know, Brad, I'm going to go meet somebody for a couple of beers. So you are like interfering in my brewski time somewhere. I'm not far from that Wild Horse Hotel. Oh, what is that thing called?
Wild Horse Pass, Peter. You're south.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm south. Yeah. So I'm not far from there, and had a couple couple of really good. I had two very good interviews today. Howie Roseman with the GM of the Eagles and Jeff Stoutland, the offensive line coach who has built the best offensive line in football. So there's that. And then I've got only about five more things to do before I dine somewhere. But anyway, here we are.
I like that. Peter King Football Morning in America. He's bouncing around the valley. So we'll keep this short. How's Phoenix been for you so far? What, have you taken in anything other than just football, Peter?
I mean, I love Phoenix. I took a great walk this morning. I'm staying in Scottsdale. Yeah. And I ended up my walk doing the Dan Patrick show at Scottsdale Stadium. So okay. Gabe Kapler came up, said hello to everybody. And the manager of the Giants, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful day. A little chilly this morning, had a sweatshirt on, but I love coming to Phoenix because other than in, for about 3 or 4 months a year, because it's a wonderful walking place. And I don't know Scottsdale very well. I haven't stayed there very much in my life. So I've just done two really long walks in my first 3 days in the Valley and trying to get to know Scottsdale a little bit. So it's been nice.
Okay, one little thing about Peter and I. So I sent Peter a note about, hey, you should come to 16 with me. You should break away. And I know Peter has all this football stuff. I'm out there today at 16 and Albert Pujols walks in, Emmett Smith walks in. Wow. We've got 5,000 people that are screaming at them. They're expecting 800,000 at the Waste Management Open in Scottsdale while the Super Bowl is here and while the Suns decided to somehow hire a coach there. We got nothing going on here, so I just want to talk to you about Super Bowl, and sometime I will get you to 16. Yeah. Sometime okay. You can get ready for golf when you retire.
That's great. Yeah, that's great.
The Cardinals have not hired a coach. Should we be concerned here in Arizona about where they are with that now, in all seriousness, Peter?
I think you should, Brad, and I don't think it's Panicsville or anything like that, but you can tell that this is not really the most desirable job.
Right.
And, that would really concern me if I were Michael Bidwill. This has not been a good 14 months for the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, it's been as bad a 14-month stretch almost as anybody in the NFL, going from the top seed in the NFC to the bottom falling out of the franchise. So, I mean, look, I don't know who they're going to hire. I really don't. But whoever it is, whether it's Kafka, Anarumo, or whether it's somebody else, here's the biggest thing that I would be concerned with, even more than who's coaching Kyler Murray and can he be salvaged. Even more than that, it is getting this franchise back, and it may go through some more hard times, but getting this franchise back with a tough guy to coach this team and to make people understand that, look, we've got a long way to go and we're only going to do it one way. And I think that's a really important thing for Michael Bidwill to pick the coach who understands that this is not going to be a very easy road. And so, I wish him well, but there is a long way to go for this team.
Yeah, it's a mess. I know you got to run, so I'm just going to ask you one last thing. I'm not going to ask you about who's going to win or any of that. I'm not going to have time for the Hall of Fame with you today. We'll do it another time. But what are you most looking forward to on Sunday in terms of matchups or storylines? I mean, the Kelce story on so many different levels is interesting, but do you have something as we're sitting here talking midweek? You're like, Brad, this one is really good to me, really interesting to me.
I think the most interesting thing, because look, anytime you play Patrick Mahomes, you're going to have a really, really difficult time in winning a game. But I just think, look, Brad, I think the Philadelphia Eagles have the best offensive line in recent NFL years. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, in the last 6 weeks, they played Dallas on Christmas Eve, and their two playoff games have been against the Giants and the 49ers. All three teams have very good defensive fronts. Okay. In those three games, the Philadelphia offensive line has allowed their quarterback to take zero sacks by the defensive front and to never get hit by the defensive front. And so what that says to me is that, you know, you're not going to be able to bother Jalen Hurts very much in this game. So you better play great coverage. And that's why, to me, look, Chris Jones is a great football player. Yep. And if he is intrusive on Sunday, it's almost a reason to consider him to be the second defensive player ever to be the MVP. And who knows what the future holds. But if he's great and he's impactful in this game, they're going to have a good chance to win. But that's against that offensive line. I think it's going to be trouble. I like the Eagles narrowly, but I saw Howie Roseman today. I said, man, you never bet against Mahomes. Never, you know, he loves Andy Reid, obviously, but he said the same thing. He goes, you know, I am definitely not overconfident playing Patrick Mahomes.
Be safe. Appreciate your camera person with you and enjoy the valley, Peter. Thank you.
All right. All the best, Brad. Sorry it was a little messy.
As promised, the original is back. NFL Network, the original analyst, Seth Joyner. But now he's on to bigger and better things because he has his own platforms. We've talked about it with Seth in the past. He's grown and grown and grown and grown his business to the point where I can bring him on and he'll talk about the Eagles objectively. He'll hammer them over the head and into submission when they deserve it. And he'd even probably tell me the weaknesses that the Chiefs could exploit, right? I mean, you won't sugarcoat it one way or the other here. Or is this Eagle cheerleading talk that we're going to have today?
No, Brad, come on, man. I think everybody knows me well enough to know that, you know, I don't play favorites. You know, I tell it like it is. The truth is the truth. My mom used to always tell me, she says, son, if you tell the truth, you never have to defend it. The truth needs no defending. She said, but if you lie, you got to tell 10 more lies to cover the first one, you know, and you got to defend your lies. Just tell the truth. So what I do is I tell the truth. It is what it is.
Okay, truth serum then, or no serum needed. When did you believe this was a Super Bowl contending team? When did you see it this year?
Well, you know, I thought that they were doing some things different. I thought maybe the rest of the league could kind of catch up to them at some point, Brad. But I think, you know, after they ran off about 9-10 games in a row, I'm like, my goodness, you know, everybody else is faltering one or two games here or there, the other top teams. But this team just keeps on finding ways to win. And the thing is, you know, even as we sit here and talk now, you know, outscoring their opponents 14 to 69 in two playoff games, they still haven't played a complete game as a complete team yet. And the prospect of that is scary because if they ever can meld one explosive offensive day with one explosive defensive day like they've done in the past and get those days going together, I think they're unbeatable.
What has gone right from your view that maybe at the start of the year it was, man, this is a big question mark. And what was it that made it click?
Well, I think a lot of it has to be the focus on Jalen Hurts, for one. You know, the team went into the season wanting to find out whether he could be the franchise, the long-term guy or not. And I think that, you know, he quickly put that to rest that, you know, he could be the guy. I think the other thing is, you know, with an extremely young coaching staff, Nick Sirianni having been a head coach before, Jonathan Gannon never have called defensive plays before after 1 year, and Shane Steichen taking over all the play calling duties on the offensive side of the ball. I think that there were questions there. And then, you know, some of the big questions were, you know, Howie Roseman made some huge moves via free agency as well as the draft. And, you know, whether the coaching staff could take those new pieces and implement them in a way that the team could grow and grow quick. But, you know, like I said, like Jalen Hurts, everybody else seemed to just like fall in lockstep and things just took off for this team.
Yeah, the Sirianni hire, though, Seth, it wasn't overwhelmingly embraced, right? This was not a hire when he first came there that was universally hailed by Eagle fans, was it? I don't believe it was from a distance.
No, it wasn't. I think Jeffrey Lurie, you know, you got to give him credit. You know, he's 3 for 4 in this scenario. You know, he hired Andy Reid, who no one had heard much about, you know, and everybody kind of scratched their head. And Andy Reid, with the second pick in the draft, you know, took Donovan McNabb, and the city of Philadelphia was up in arms about it. You know, I think his greatest mistake was thinking, you know, that Chip Kelly could correlate, you know, offensively what he did at the college level to the pro level. After 3 years, he recognized that that was a mistake. And then he did the same thing with Doug Peterson. You know, Doug Peterson had never been a head coach, I don't even think, you know, on a high school level. And they brought him in the second year he went to the Super Bowl. Same thing with Nick Sirianni. He was not high on everybody's, you know, list, even though Frank Reich had endorsed him. You know, Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman decided to bring him in, and, you know, thus far it's worked out pretty darn well for him.
Steichen, his name's around the Cardinals a little bit. You know, tell me about him a little bit from your view, if he were to be the guy in Arizona after all this is done.
Well, I mean, he's somewhat of an anomaly when you really stop and think about it, Brad, because he was with the Chargers for a while, heard a lot of negative things about him with the Chargers, almost like they ran him out of L.A., wasn't very good at play calling, according to, you know, some of the reports that you heard. And then Nick Sirianni brings him on, you know, as the offensive coordinator last year, but Nick was primarily calling the plays. And then, you know, at the beginning of this year, he ceded play calling responsibilities over to Shane Steichen this year. And, you know, he's a sole play caller on the offensive side. And what you've seen is, you know, an offense come out and set a record, you know, for rushing touchdowns, you know, in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts, you know, turned into, you know, a finalist, you know, for the, you know, MVP of the league. Just, you know, I don't know him well enough to tell you whether he would be, you know, the candidate. But he's done a fantastic job in 2 years, you know, with a young quarterback like Jalen Hurts, and helped him, you know, evolve his game. It'll be interesting to see, because I think that whoever it is that the Cardinals decide to hire needs to be a very, very strong, authoritative, you know, type coach. And I know that the NFL is kind of moving away from that, more towards the emotional intelligence side of it. But I realize that there are some things that are prevalent in the Cardinals organization that needs a stronger hand.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. Seth Joyner with us for a few minutes. All things around the NFL with the Super Bowl on Sunday. He does quite a bit with Eagles, on the Eagles, I should say, before and after games and during the week in Philly. And, of course, great stuff as always when he joins us. Stopping Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to put your coaching helmet on, your player helmet on. How would you go about it? How would you do it? Is there a way to slow him down, in your opinion, for this Sunday? Is it the injuries at wide receiver, Kansas City? What do you think, Seth?
I think a lot of it, Brad, is containment. You know, as a defensive player, as a defensive coach, as a defense coordinator, the first thing you want to do is you want to make a team, an offense like this, one-dimensional. And as crazy as it sounds, I wouldn't mind one bit if Patrick Mahomes threw the ball 50 times on Sunday. Mm. Because, you know, the Eagles led the league in sacks this year with 70 in the regular season and 8 more throughout the playoffs. You know, they set a record. You know, for the franchise, they broke our record of sacks for the year, the guys that I played with. And they also came in third all time behind, you know, the Bears. The Bears were, you know, had 2 years where they set the record. So I wouldn't mind if, you know, if we forced them to throw the ball, because, you know, we got some pretty good pass rushers that can really get after the quarterback. My concern is Isaiah Pacheco, the running back, you know, out of Rutgers. The kid is just, you know, he runs so hard and he plays so hard. And if they can get any semblance of a running attack established, you know, that's going to make it harder on the Eagles defense, because, you know, you got play action pass and bootlegs and all these things that, you know, allow Patrick Mahomes to really operate magically, because I think he's a much better quarterback as he operates outside of the pocket and as he improvises than he is when he's in the pocket. And then obviously, you know, his biggest weapon is Travis Kelce. And everyone said all year long, how do you stop him? How do you stop him? And no one's been able to stop him. I mean, the numbers he put up this year are basically wide receiver numbers. But, you know, you've got to come up with a combination of different ways to be able to take him away, and take him away early if he wants to line up in line. then your defensive end has got to say, hey, I'm going to be a step or two late in my pass rush because I'm going to get the bump, and I'm going to, and then the next guy is going to get the bump, and then you primarily take him out of the route by doing so. If he's removed from the box, then I think you got to get up and play him inside technique, get your inside jam and stay underneath him with help over top. But you got to figure out a way to take that guy away because he's the one guy that moves the chains for them when they really are trying to get drives to continue to move down the field.
Let me ask you one question about one player, and it's one that Cardinal fans saw get out of here, and that's Hassan Reddick. Mm-hmm. I mean, Seth, it's another Cardinal that got away. And when I see him just destroy Brock Purdy is what happened in the 49er game and just going about his business. What are you seeing out of Hassan Reddick that didn't work here in Arizona?
Well, listen, there are some things that, you know, Arizona tried to do with him that made him a better player. You know, there was a point in time where when he came to Arizona, he couldn't play off the ball. He couldn't play linebacker. So they developed some skills within him that allowed him, you know, to become more of a complete player. Now, nobody in Philadelphia wants him off the ball and nobody wants him dropping in the coverage. But, you know, sometimes in our five-man front, that's what they ask him to do. He's more athletic than anybody that, you know, that they've had in that position, you know, over the last 2 years. But what he is, Brad, is he's a pure pass rusher. There's just no ends, you know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And maybe, you know, the Cardinals couldn't get themselves to see him for what he was really worth. In the five-man front, it works because he's essentially the Sam backer. So you can drop him in the coverage sometimes. You can rush him and, you know, drop. You could have dropped Chandler Jones every once in a while. There's a whole lot of different things that you can do, but not everyone has that kind of imagination. When you get in the four-man front, it's like you're going to ask a 6'2", 235-pound linebacker to play defensive end every play. Well, guess what? Even if you line him up weak side through motions and shifts, I can ensure that I get two bodies on him on every play, and I'll just wear him down. I think that's one of the things that the Cardinals were afraid of. The Eagles, you know, they're not afraid of. They put him in the four-man front. When they know that the opposing team has to throw the ball, they cut him loose. In the five-man front, you know, when teams are running the ball on first down, you want to be stout in the middle. He plays pretty well on the weak side. And what he gives you is the opportunity to have a guy that you can drop and go to a four-man rush, even out of a five-man look. So, listen, I worried about it, too. When the Eagles signed him, you know, 3 years, $45 million, I was like, what are we doing? I'm like, how is Jonathan Gannon going to implement this guy? How are you going to use him? I mean, I even went to my whiteboard and started drawing up different ways that they could use him. But what they realized is that he is a pretty darn dominant pass rush guy. And I just never knew. I never knew he had that kind of speed.
Right.
The other thing is I never understood how strong he was because I watched him over this year run by guys. And then once guys, he gets them off balance, his ability to go from speed to power and just lift guys off the ground and take 330-pound guys back to the quarterback, you know, it's just been phenomenal. So, maybe it's just the evolution of him as a player. You know, when you got a player early and young and they're trying to grow, they're trying to figure out who they are. After 2 years and two double-digit sack years in Carolina, maybe he's finally figured out who he is, and maybe the rest of these coaching staffs, now they, you know, Jonathan Gannon has figured out how to use it.
That is why Seth Joyner is the original. That was so good. Man, you just crushed it on that. All right, before you get out of here, put all your emotions aside. What happens Sunday? Who wins? Why? How?
Well, I tell you what. Excuse me. There's no doubt about it that Kansas City has the better coach. He's been at it longer. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's doing. He's already won one. There's no doubt that Kansas City has, you know, the better quarterback in this deal. He's been at it longer. He's already won multiple MVPs, probably going to win it again this year. He's won a Super Bowl and then a Super Bowl MVP, highest paid player in the National Football League. We expect that. And arguably, they've got the best tight end, okay? But what I believe is across the board, the Eagles have the best football team. And more times than not, I believe the best team wins than you know, when you have the best players. Now, the Eagles are going to have to go out and prove it. You know, they're going to have to go out and make that defensive line that's not very good against the run, that's ranked probably 15th or 16th. They're going to have to make them prove that they can stop the run, because they've been living with the run the last 2 weeks. They're averaging 44 carries, 208 yards, and 3.5 touchdowns on the ground the last two playoff games. So they're going to have to, in my opinion, they got to make the Kansas City Chiefs defense prove that they can stop them. Defensively, they're going to have to keep Patrick Mahomes in the pocket. They're going to have to make him throw the ball 40 times, stop the run, and figure out a way to get to him, and figure out a way to deal with Travis Kelce in the midst of all of this. But with it all being said and done, I witnessed this team grow over a 17-game schedule.
Right.
And I witnessed their confidence throughout the last two preseason games. Even with the 49ers coming in, they were the number one ranked defense in the National Football League. They basically took them apart. They hung 33 on them. And everyone wants to talk about Brock Purdy and the fact that he wasn't there. But as a defense, you're still tasked with stopping the other offense. And the number one ranked defense that was only giving up 16 points a game got 31 hung up on it. So I got to give the Eagles the edge. And it's not just because, you know, I'm being the homer. I report on the team. Yeah,
Joyner the homer. I've never heard.
I honestly believe that a better team, you know, will outmatch, you know, a team with a better player, because I haven't seen a quarterback yet to snap the ball to himself, hand it off, and run for 100 yards, or the quarterback that snaps it to himself and throws it 80 yards and runs down there and catches it. So you need a complete team.
That is great. Get out of here. I know you have a lot going on. I know you're not going to hit them straight. I know you're just going to be at parties and events and signings and all. Are you doing anything fun? Are you just locked in on this, all everything Eagles? What's your week look like the rest of the week?
Well, it's twofold. I mean, there's some, I'll go to a couple of events. I've got some corporate clients, you know, from Philly that are here.
Nice.
That I'm entertaining. I got dinners and, you know, waste management, Super Bowl tickets and, you know, and stuff like that. But I do have some appearances. And then I got to jump on a plane Saturday night on a red eye and go back to Philadelphia. And get ready, you know, for work, because I do my pre and post, you know, from there. And then radio on Monday, and then take my show on Tuesday. And, you know, depending on whether there's a parade or not, I could be back or I could still be there doing what I'm doing. So we'll see.
Listen to you. The entrepreneur in Seth Joyner. It's bloomed. It's so beautiful to see all this for you and your successes. Thanks for the time, as always.
Thank you, man. It's been a blessed year. And you know what? Thanks for your help and your mentorship along the way. I appreciate it.
Really. Anytime, my friend. Anytime. As long as it's not a Quintero and I'm kicking your ass on the golf course.
Well, we got to do that soon.
All right.
Carl
says that too. And I just hear all this yapping. We'll see if it happens later. There's Seth Joyner. Okay. We'll be back with more after this timeout.